You want to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 1, verses 46 through 55. I want to look today at Mary's poem of praise. Luke 1, 46 through 55. Beginning to read. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you will empower your word this morning with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you've ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's talk about the first Christmas. Angels prepared the way by bringing good news. Angels prepared the way by bringing good news. It had nothing to do with reindeer. It had nothing to do with a big red nose. It had nothing to do with most of the things that the people in our nation and in this world tend to relate Christmas to. God has really stirred my heart up about the importance of people getting back to the true meaning of Christmas. People getting back to the foundation of what life is really about. So, the angels prepared the way by bringing good news. Mary and Elizabeth, being cousins, shared the excitement of their coming sons. They were both with child at the same time. One would prepare the way, that being John the Baptist. John the Baptist would proclaim Christ. He would go into the wilderness, live into the wilderness, and he would proclaim that people needed to repent. Repent, repent, repent. And he told them, "I'm not the one. You need to look ahead to the one that I am not qualified to even tie his sandals." So the angels proclaimed the coming of Christ. John the Baptist proclaimed Christ later, that his ministry would begin. So one would prepare the way and one would be the way. Jesus would be the way. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said about himself, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We must, as believers, come back to this foundation. We must, as parents and grandparents, bring the true message of Christmas to our children and not confuse them with all of the things that this world has come up with. The schools can call it winter break if they want to. But I would proclaim that our children should correct them and say, no, it's Christmas break. Because there's nothing that anybody can do about it if the children proclaim it. So what am I telling you? Train your children to speak up about the true meaning of Christmas, to speak up about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one that is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes. There is no other one that we can proclaim that died and rose again to save lost humanity. No one else. As preparations were made, wonder blossomed in the heart of a mother. Many of you women here have given birth to children. And the joy that you have as you await, oh yes, the first trimester, you can be pretty sick. And we don't know whether Mary was. Maybe she was. I don't know. We have no way of knowing that, I guess. It's not recorded anywhere that I've seen that she was sick the first trimester, but that wouldn't be uncommon, right? The wonder of being focused on God, as we read this, have read this poem or song that Mary wrote. The wonder of God is what she was focused on. She was in awe, in absolute awe of God. She was humble, completely blown away that God had chosen her to carry the Christ child, the one who would save the world. Wonder burst forth with praise to God. The result is Mary's poem of praise to God. God joyously delights in the praises of his servants who faithfully trust in his divine paths. Do you trust God? I already said, I'll say it again, this has been a hard year. But look, it's the 18th day of December. We are mere days from the first of a new year. God has brought us through another year. And he will bring us through next year, just like he has this year. He will have his way. He is having his way. So, second major point, Mary's poem instructs us to honor God, just like she has. Blessed are those who hold God in high honor. You are blessed if you hold God in high honor. Something has happened in the Christian culture that really, really bothers me. People as a whole do not revere God anymore. Oh, they want to be saved. People want to be saved, but they don't revere God. There's no reverence for God. Well, Pastor Wayne, how do you know that? Well, when you look at everything that is happening in our culture that is godless, and it's been increasing rapidly, that's part of what has been not so good about this year, is we have seen all kinds of things ordained by man that will never be ordained by God. Okay? We as believers should not tolerate the blatant attack on God's principles. We should not tolerate it. We should stand up and speak up. Oh, you're going to be persecuted for it. We've reached that place. But here we are, approaching another Christmas. And so many people that profess Christ will then turn around and approve of all these godless things. It makes me absolutely sick to my stomach. Could you see Mary approving of those things? I think not. God surely does not approve of those things. Do you guys realize, many of you probably don't, powers that be in the world met recently on a mountain and decided they were going to make up a new Ten Commandments. How well do you think that's going to go? That's just one example of many of what is happening in our world. And another reason that we have got to come back as believers to the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that involves coming back to the foundation of Christmas being what it is. Our Savior was born humbly in a stable and laid on a manger. And he's the one that lived on this earth then for 33 and a half years and then died and rose again for your sin and mine. Back to the foundation. There are so many distractions in this world. Oh, if you take a stand for what we're talking about in the Word of God today, you can expect to be named a racist. Because that is the term that is used now to address anything that Christians do to take a stand. If you don't agree with what we're doing, you're a racist. Really? Have you looked up what racist means? Did you know that they are even rewriting dictionaries to include slang words and change the meaning of words? Do you realize that that is happening right now as we speak? They're changing the meaning of words to confuse people. Guys, it's another reason we have such a huge responsibility with our children and grandchildren that we train them up in the way that they should go. Because this culture has turned on God, and along with that has turned on those who address themselves as Christians. So Mary's poem instructs us to honor God. Blessed are those who hold God in high honor. Heroes, athletes, and students are honored for assorted achievements. Heroes are honored. There are many different kinds of heroes. We've got heroes that we celebrate on Veterans Day, those that have gone into the military, and including those that have gone into the military, served our nation, and came back. They're heroes. Every one of them in my mind. And those that paid the ultimate price and came back in a box. Heroes. Well, is Jesus Christ not a hero because he paid the ultimate sacrifice? Died, was laid in a tomb, and rose again. Was he not, is he not a hero? He's my hero.
Yes, amen.
He saved me when I couldn't save myself. He's my hero. And in this season, we celebrate his birth. Athletes. Athletes Scripture honor you. They're put on pedestals. I remember back in the 90s when the Bulls were hot, man, they had Michael Jordan. He was almost worshipped. But never saved one person from the flames. Jesus Christ came to redeem lost humanity. Amen. He's a hero. Mary's poem magnifies God for his achievements. In verse 46, we see the idea that we honor God because he is Lord. So many people today, even those that profess to be Christians, do not revere God enough to allow him to be Lord of their lives. And if he is not Lord, he is not Savior. You can't have it both ways. You can't have one without the other. You can't have him as Savior and not be Lord. He said, away from me, you evildoers. Yeah. I never knew you. Those are words you do not want to hear because you would not submit your life to him. He must be Savior and Lord. And if he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. So we honor God because he is Lord. Verse 47, we see that we lift God's banner high because he is Savior. She says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Is he your Savior today? Are you sold out? Have you invited him into your life to not only save you from the flames, but to be Lord of your life, for him to take over the reins of your life? It's what he came to do in that first advent. And in the second advent, his return, he's coming back for those of his who have accepted him as Lord and Savior. We declare God's greatness, for he is holy. We see in verse 49, Mary says, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. We should revere him because he is holy and we are not. We, even when we are born again believer and doing the best we can, we still do things that are unholy. That's why we need a Savior. So we declare God's greatness. Because when there was no way, when the blood of lambs and the blood of goats was sacrificed over and over and over again, but it was not adequate. It was not adequate. Then the Son of God said, I'll go. I'll go. I'll go into the world through the womb of a human woman. I'll be born. I will live. I will die to pay the price for the sin. And I will raise to life again and return to glory. See, it really didn't start with a birth. It started in heaven when the Godhead decided a plan to redeem lost humanity. That was where it started,
yeah.
Not at the birth.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
And Jesus was born into the world through the womb of a woman, her name being Mary. As we prepare for Christmas, well, this coming week there will be all kinds of baking going on. Come on, ladies, I know there will. And maybe some of you guys, I'm not taking that away from anybody. There will be a lot of baking going on to make really good candies. All for the celebration. Get closer to the weekend, there will be preparations of good food. Mine will be blended. But it still tastes good, it just doesn't look as appetizing. I still thank God for it, works in still, I'm still going to pray and thank God for it. I have been. My wife's done a good job. Too good, I haven't lost enough weight. So we prepare for Christmas. But are we honoring God? Are we really honoring Him in our family? Is Jesus Christ the center focus? Or have we allowed all of the distractions that there are in the world in this season to cloud our vision of Jesus Christ? Because see, He alone is the one who paid the price for our sin. When no one else would come and do it, He did it. Third major idea, Mary's poem invites us to serve God. Mary expresses humility. Service to God begins with humility before God. I'm going to say that again.
Yeah.
Service to God begins with humility before God. We've got to learn to humble ourselves before God and then operate in service to God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Much of this has been lost because of the culture that we are living in. You know what's really sad, guys? What I have seen predominantly in the last at least couple of decades is the culture creeping into the church and infecting the church instead of the church dominating the culture. See, if we are a born-again believer on fire for God, full of His Holy Ghost, then we will dominate the atmosphere of the place that we are in. We should not be infected by the culture. We should be affecting the culture, not be being infected by the culture. But what I have seen happen to the body of Christ, let's narrow it down to this nation, is the church has been infected by the world. Pastors stand in the pulpit and preach woke messages, and the people sit in the pews and chairs and nod with approval. It's rampant. As your pastor, my call to you in this season is let's get back to the foundation. Let's affect our world and reject being infected by the world. Mary's words of praise humbly precede in a confession that her power for service could only come from God. That is a humble statement. That is an absolute true statement. I've shared with you many times. I'm doing right here, right now, some of what God has called me to do in my life. And I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, if he takes his hand off of me, I'll fail. I know that. Because what he's called me to do, I don't have natural ability for. The enemy has attacked my voice and has tried to shut me up. He don't win.
Amen.
And he's not going to win. Jesus Christ has provided the way and the power to fulfill the call that is on every one of our lives. You young people, I'm talking to you too. God's got a call on your life. He can use you right now in the schools that you're in the colleges that you're in. He can use you right now. Oh, you probably will be persecuted if you take a stand. But wouldn't you rather be persecuted for Christ and reside with him for all eternity than go the way of the world and land in hell? Because those are our choices. Jesus said, if you are not with me, you are against me. There's no in between. Absolutely no in between. If you're not with me, you're against me. As we honor God, we lift our hands in praise and our hearts in praise. And our voices, although I wasn't singing today, saving my voice. In here I was. But here I was not singing because I was saving my voice. As we serve God, we sometimes dirty our hands by serving the needs of others. Are you willing to serve God and get your hands dirty, helping somebody else clean things up? You know what I'm talking about? See, I'm not only talking about physically, in cleaning up physical things, but also helping people clean up their lives. Are you willing? Because, see, Jesus came to do all that. And he is able to be God all by himself. The Godhead's able to be God all by themselves. But our God chooses to work through his people. And when his people aren't working with him, it hinders the moving of God. That probably makes you go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, God works through people. And throughout history, when God's people weren't acting like God's people, it hindered the move of God that he wanted to bring. Jesus has never been a hindrance to anything because he fulfilled the Father's will. And it began in heaven and then came to a manger. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's a phrase from John 3:16. Almost everybody in the world can quote those words. Almost everybody. It amazes me. There's two verses that people can almost, someone that has never known the Lord, people know two verses They know John 3:16, and they know, "Thou shalt not judge, lest you be judged." They always know that. How do people know that? The devil tell them? They always know that. You shall not judge, or you'll be judged. Well, I just tell people, I've told you before, I am surely nobody's judge. I don't qualify, but I'm a fruit inspector. Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruit. And they will know you by your love." Yes. And love does not mean you go along with every cockamamie thing that comes up that opposes God. See, that is what this culture is trying to make us believe. Well, if you love me, you'll just accept whatever I do. No. No. God loves you, and He's not accepting it.
That's right.
Well, you're intolerant. Thank you. So is my God.
That's right.
Yes, I am intolerant. As we revere God, we, as Mary expresses, live under the umbrella of God's mercy. Reverence for God enables us to love people and frees us to serve God by His mercy. Loving people does not mean you go along with everything that the world is doing. Same-sex marriage should not be happening. Bathrooms, the bathroom issue, that should not be happening. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Absolutely should not be happening. Mary's poem of praise reminds us to remember God. Major point number four. Mary's poem of praise reminds us to remember God. Blessed are those who see God's rule over the world. Let me substitute the word recognize or see. Blessed are those who recognize God's rule over the world. Do you believe with me that everything is going to play out in the end the way God told us it would? Have you read the end of the book?
Yes.
Do you believe that's true?
Yes.
I'll tell you one thing, I do. Every single bit of it, I believe it. Do I know every detail of how it is going to come to that point? No. Do I think that, as we were told, we would know by the seasons we would recognize things? Yes, we would know by the seasons. As I look at the seasons that we are in today, what am I seeing? I'm seeing we are rapidly moving into the last days. It makes me more and more thankful every day that our Savior came to redeem us. You know, there's something really neat about when things keep getting darker. Because God's God, and when the dark keeps getting darker, the light will get lighter. And light dispels darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. So the world has been getting darker because the spirit of Baal has been unleashed on the world. Are you with me? So it seems to be getting darker and darker and darker. How is that? Well, it's because the church hasn't been being the church. That's how. People have been doing what I've been talking about with you today as we explore this poem. People have not been taking a stand for Christ. They're taking a stand for everything else. It's time for the body of Christ to be the body of Christ. It's what Jesus came for. Jesus came to build a kingdom on this earth that one day will be transferred. He came to build a kingdom. He came to build one that for when he returns will be a kingdom inhabited by people that are without spot or wrinkle. And as a believer that's been a believer for 40 years, and as a pastor that's been pastoring for, I guess, 23 years already, soon to be 24, I look and it grieves my heart to see what has happened to the body of Christ on this earth. But I'm also encouraged because I know that God is not going to leave it this way. But it's going to come through prayer, and it has become more and more clear this year why, a few years ago, God moved me as the pastor of this church to establish more avenues of prayer in this church. And we still don't have enough. When we have encounter one night a month, and we sometimes have 6 or 8 people there, that tells me people are not serious about prayer yet. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, I pray at home. Great. That's great. But it's not a substitute for the corporate prayer. Every revival that has ever sprung forth, I'm talking about true revivals, that has ever sprung forth, has happened through people coming together in corporate prayer. That is what has ignited it. Because those avenues of corporate prayer are what attract the power of God that brings revival. Am I making sense to you? I didn't know I was going to preach this part today. But we need to listen because God's speaking to us. Didn't know I was going to be talking about this with you. In the midst of a world full of turmoil, Mary shouts praise to God. He rules. Verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Are you ready for it to scatter those that are proud with their inmost thoughts? Those that would go up, those leaders in the world that would go up on a mountain and shake their fist at God and say, we will make our own 10 Commandments? Is that not pride? Do you believe that God would tolerate that for us? No, he won't. Remember that he does rule over men. Throughout time, people have thought because God is full of grace, and it seems to take time for the judgment to reach people, because it's not his will that any should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. So he gives everyone room for repentance. What's hard is people have a tendency to believe, when it keeps going and going and going, that God must not care. See, my Bible tells me, the Word of God says, that he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's the same God right now that he was in the Old Testament, you better believe he cares. I've been watching the sky kind of wondering when brimstone's going to start coming. If God, can I quote Ruth Graham? If God does not judge this nation, he better apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Ruth Graham said that. I can't take credit for that. And I'm pretty sure God's not going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We're all clear on that, right?
That's right.
Everything God does is just. Remember, God rules over men. Remember also, he rules over nations. He judges men as men, and when I'm using men as speaking of both genders, two genders, that's it. Okay? If you're confused, you can come up and talk to me. I'll straighten it out for you. All right? Two genders. He judges men as men, and he rules over nations. He judges nations as nations. I am really thankful that God has reserved a true remnant in this nation. It's why this nation's not been destroyed. Because there's a remnant. And I would like to think there are many of us here at Gateway Faith Fellowship that are part of that remnant. Remember that he rules over history. Verses 54 and 55 says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. He rules over history. Remember also, he rules the future, and that he rules at this very moment. God is in rule right now. He spoke to us today through tongue and interpretation. That shows me he's still proactive in his body. He's still moving. He still loves us, but he is wooing us to come deeper in him. It's time to quit playing around in the shallows and step out into the deep waters. When God says come, that we step out in faith. Peter got laughed at because he stepped out of the boat. But at least he had guts enough to step out. He walked a few more steps on the water than you or I ever have. Mary penned this poem, and it shows her reverence for God. It shows the pureness of her heart. She was not perfect, okay? She was human. But God chose her to carry the Christ child for those 9 months. So she was pretty special. That being said, it's Jesus Christ that our eyes are on and our faith is in. Mary had a wonderful role in history. But we should not be praying to Jesus through Mother Mary to get some kind of favor. Okay? We got to keep Mary in her right place and keep Jesus in his right place. He is the one that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mary was used to bring the Christ child into this earth. And it absolutely had to be that way. I've talked about that different times in this past year, about why it had to be that way. So we should all be on top of that. Next Sunday, 7 days from today, will be Christmas morning. We'll be having church here. Let's all stand together, okay? I want to pray. I really don't want to close this service, but we've got to do it at some point, right? Father, I reach out my hands outstretched over your people, merely as a representation of you, Lord. As your representation, I pray in Jesus' name that especially in this season, that our hearts would be turned to you, that our every thought would be on the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of our Savior. Lord, thank you for being our Savior and Lord. Mm-hmm. We pray, Lord, that as we leave this place today, that we have been touched by your Spirit and we are forever changed. Lord, I thank you for rededication and a first dedication, Lord. I pray for Noah. I pray for Rick. I just pray in Jesus' name that you will seal them with the power of your Holy Spirit, that you put your mark on them, that you have claimed them for yourself, that you will be a wall of fire around them, and that, Lord, you will use them in these last days to glorify yourself. We thank you for the mighty work you have done in every one of us today. And we pray that as we walk with you throughout this week, that you be glorified and that you will bring us back safely next Sunday to worship you together, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.